This is Due by Friday, a weekly challenge podcast with Merlin Mann, Alex Cox, and Max Temkin. This week's challenge, use rechargeable batteries.
Here we go.
Hey!
I think we got it this time.
Hot hands!
Hot hands!
The two of you guys should not be allowed to be in a room together.
Why?
I could feel the anxiety. I could feel that you're both just sweating and your hearts are racing and you're just...
Beta blockers.
Yeah.
I'm having another one now.
All right, let's all pop a beta blocker. Let's all pop a beta blocker and do an improv warm-up.
Oh, God, this little blue boy saves my life. Oh,
let's do a little improv warm-up together, you know? I feel like you guys have had a lot of tech support.
Yes, and.
Give me a city.
Okay, here's your city. We're not divorced. No. What? Did you ever hear that story? You ever heard that story? I told you that story, right?
No.
Right before you go on stage and you start an improv show, everyone, you sort of like touch each other on the back and you go, got your back.
Yeah, oh God. I would just walk into the sea over and over again. I would resurrect myself.
People should do that more. I got your back.
No. Mm. Why? Do you like being touched?
Let's do a little zip, zap, zap.
Do you like to be touched?
Me? Or Max? I like being touched for a little longer than is healthy. That really gives me something to think about.
The 7-second hug is totally normal and fine. Mm. Totally normal and fine.
You can leave anytime you want.
Well, let's see. For our listeners may not have pieced together exactly what's going on, but you guys are, let's just say you're in an undisclosed location, but you're together.
Yes.
And I'm also out of town, but I'm in a different city, and I'm recording from my hotel room. And we've had, shall we say, extensive technical difficulties.
No!
Only time will tell if we're managing to record your end. I know that we're recording my end.
Oh, come on. That part's easy. You know what? It's going to be fine. I'm going to go touch Alex's back now.
The problem is Merlin cares about you hearing us, which, you know, I don't even know if you listen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not going to listen to a word that you say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Checks out. Where are you?
I'm in Seattle. Oh. I'm in my hotel room in Seattle.
What hotel?
And I'm going... What's that?
Nothing. Go on.
What hotel?
Yeah. What hotel?
Oh, it's one of the fancy ones. It's not one of the PAX ones. I'm staying at like a slightly nicer hotel because I don't need to be by the convention center. And I'm going to Pike Place Market when we're done with the podcast with friend of the show, Seth Boyer.
Oh, yay. Oh,
we're going to go see them toss the salmon. You know, that real.
Oh, the fish throwing place. Right.
That real Seattle shit. I want the real stuff. I said,
Seth, really get in there. Yeah.
I said, Seth, take me to the real shit. You know, what do the locals do? And he's like, we got to go to Pike Place Market.
You go. You buy a Pearl Jam wig.
Yeah. Normal thing to do.
There's a magic shop there that I want to see. So Seth is very, very kindly accommodating my madness and going to the Pike Place. I did have an okay. I came up with a good marketing idea for Seattle though.
Okay,
this is free. This is free. So I think maybe we should get this on John Roderick's radar because I know he's pretty plugged in. You know, in the Seattle sort of scene here. Mm-hmm. But check this out. I think when you go to Pike Place Market, you should hear me out. I think you should be able to meet Fraser Crane.
Okay. Is it a Fraser Crane? Is it like meeting Santa at the mall? Is it literally Kelsey Grammer?
Exactly.
When you go, let me ask you this. When you go to Magic Kingdom, is it literally Minnie Mouse?
I take your point. Okay, how about this? What if you go and it is Kelsey Grammer, but you get to choose which character you meet? Maybe you want to meet him as Beast in the X-Men.
Exactly.
And he's a big blue boy.
Okay.
Let's toss salads and scrambled eggs. I love this idea. Other Seattle people, could you meet a dead grunge rocker from the heroin?
Yeah, yes. Wait, no, I thought it was a shotgun.
Oh, no, not him. Oh, wow, too soon.
I want to meet him.
Okay, I was going to say somebody like, I don't know, one of those long-haired guys who does heroin. Maybe he's a Force Ghost. This is a great idea. That town needs all the help it can get.
I'm just saying, when you go to Disney, you want to meet Ray, okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you go to Pike Place Market, you want to meet Niles. You just do.
Oh, I honestly, there's the indie show Grey's Anatomy. They should just line up in front of every hospital and give me their autographs. And then I would like them to pat me on the back. But it's like they've erased Seattle from that show, and it's very, very disappointing. Whereas like Frasier, it's like, hey, look at remember they had the green screen?
It was for outside where you could see like a space needle and stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like here, you know, I mean, the Golden Gate Bridge is leaving the north side of town, and it's somehow always in every scene. It's just, it's, I mean, I get it. It's the Rice-A-Roni problem title. Oh, do you guys take the cable car to work? No, no one does that. No one does that. It costs twice as much as a regular ride on anything else, and it only goes down this one little area that only tourists go to. So, no, I do not ride the Rice-A-Roni. I'm not riding the Roni.
I heard something crazy, kooky and crazy about the, do you know the show Chicago Fire?
Yeah, I feel like I've heard of it.
Like the spinoff of Chicago PD, right?
I don't know. There's all these like Chicago shows where they like, I think it's like PD and Fire. Oh shit. And there was a Kelsey Grammer one, right? Didn't he play like the mayor?
I don't know. I have no idea.
There was one where it was called like The Boss, right? And it was Kelsey Grammer.
I need to really catch up on this guy.
I haven't seen any of these shows. I've never seen a single episode of any of these shows. But they film around the office and in my neighborhood all the time. So there's like street closures
weird
and
flex.
Stuff. But
okay.
I heard the other day, so basically the premise of Chicago Fire is that there's these like cataclysmic, like awful events all happening to this one firehouse in like one block of Chicago. And it's like, there's always like a toxic gas leak and then a building explodes. And like, it's always like some crisis for the firefighters like every week.
Yeah. That happens on children's shows too. There's a Welsh animated show called Fireman Sam. And it's basically about...
I've seen this!
Fireman Sam is basically about this cursed village with the most incompetent fire people in the world. And they're like, there's one little boy, Norman Price! There's one little boy that causes a lot of problems, and there's flaming paper airplanes, and they're fucking always setting the kitchen in the firehouse on fire. It's the worst. I mean, it's like, I don't know, it's like working at a drug clinic and being all gacked out all the time. It makes no sense. Oh, blimey, there's another fire!
Heener!
That's a good premise. Now, what would that be if they made a show about Cards Against Humanity? What would that be about?
Probably someone's always mad at us on the internet.
Mm-hmm. Alas, I used to enjoy your cardboard treats.
So I heard the other day that they have some sort of deal with the city or something where they will never show like the skyline of Chicago in such a way that you can orient yourself to know where this firehouse is, because they don't want to have it in a neighborhood because that would make that neighborhood look bad. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so stupid. I love it.
It's really weird.
Yeah.
Like people can't associate. That's so fucking weird.
It's part of the deal of that show is that they can never reveal where it's supposed to be taking place.
Well, isn't this also the problem? I've never seen the program. I was a little old. I was in college. I think it got popular. Isn't this the Murder, She Wrote problem?
Okay, I have no idea. Is this the show with the old lady and the cat?
Well, she's old by some standards. I don't know about the cat. I don't know who the cat is. But people keep getting fucking killed in her tiny little town in, I don't know, it's like fucking Maine or something.
So it's a real town and people went to visit it?
It's called Jessica'sville.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'm just trying.
Yes, and.
Yes, and.
Here we are
and?
In Spain. All right.
Oh, okay. But really, this is not a bit.
Okay.
San Francisco is so interesting. It's so interesting. It's very big. It's so, so big. I have been late to everything.
Well, you know, everyone got mad at me when I said I would be at Merlin's on time, and then I was about 45
so
minutes late.
Big. Oh, I beat you. Oh, my God.
But I just want to say, it's not as easy. Not now who's laughing. Not as easy as it seems to get to Merlin's.
I think it's a teachable moment for everybody.
Yeah. Now who's breaking out into a cold sweat?
How's your hotel, Alex?
Oh, boy. Oh, thank you, Merlin.
Yes, and.
Oh, boy. Okay. I have to actually take
Do you want a beta blocker? I got a beta blocker.
Okay. Here's the guys, problem. I want to try it.
You guys should
it.
Take some more beta blockers.
Okay, hold on.
My pulse is 6.
Okay, hold on. I need
is your pulse
quick.
Supposed to be 6? My watch is blowing up, but I don't care.
Okay.
I'm so relaxed.
I want a beta blocker.
Really? No.
Yes,
oh,
yes,
shit.
It'll be fine. It'll be fine.
I don't want to have to testify in court about this.
As long as there's not a
cashew
in it.
Well, I can't promise that. No
you
motorcycles
just,
implied.
This is a real baby. Oh my gosh.
Okay. Well, do you have low blood pressure? I need to ask for medical.
I do not have low blood pressure.
Yeah, the pharmacist, when I picked this up, the pharmacist was like, this is a refill. Oh, can I tell you? Oh, wait, before I can read your hotel bit, yeah, can you hear us okay, Max? I feel like I'm yelling a lot because I'm worried you can't hear us.
I can hear you.
Okay. All right, cool. Okay, so I go in to pick up my beta blockers, and of course, it's the same fucking... Our pharmacy is... This Walgreens is farcical. You go in there, everybody's inscrutable, if you know what I mean. So I go in there. I go in there, and the lady goes, pick up. And I go, and I say, man. Very quietly. And she goes, man! I said, yes. Man. First name? Merlin. Okay, address! And I go 1492 Santa Maria Lane. And she goes, 1492 Santa Maria Lane. And I go, the cue here is that I'm speaking quietly because I don't, OPSEC, I don't want you screaming my name in a Walgreens. Mm-hmm. And she goes, okay, propranolol is ready. Gabapentin's not ready yet. Come back later. Thank you. Okay, thank you. You want that? You want to wait? And I said, no. No, just the beta blocker is fine. And then she has to call over the pharmacist. And the yelling pharmacist comes over. And he goes, refill? And I say, yes, it's a refill. He says, okay, what are you taking this for?
What? That is not legal. That's not legal.
And I said, I'm taking it for anxiety.
Oh,
and he
my
says,
God.
Oh, I figured, because this is a lot to take. Do you take all of these every day? And I said, no, I take them as needed.
It's not a joke. It's not a joke.
It's like the Trader Joe's checkout line philosophy of the drugstore
yes.
counter.
Oh, these are great in pie. Why do you buy so many limes? Because I'm an alcoholic. I'm not making pie. I'm an alcoholic. And so, wait, I'm almost done. And then so he's like, oh, yeah, I figured that's a lot of these. It's usually for high blood pressure. I said, yes, I know. He says, all right, well, do you have high blood pressure? And I said, and I know not to talk because the more I talk, the more they'll talk. And I said, no. And he says, okay, well, symptoms of low blood pressure would be that you feel dizzy. So if you start to feel dizzy, that's because you have low blood pressure. And what I want to say is, first of all, I'm here for anxiety, and you're fucking freaking me out by yelling about my anxiety in the Walgreens. But I also wanted to say, listen, fella, the last thing I got to worry about is my pulse being low. And I wanted to show him my watch. But instead I said, thank you. How's your hotel, Alex? And
Hold on. I'm gonna check my pulse.
Got some media. Oh, let me see mine.
I was at 95. That's healthy.
Whoa.
Oh boy.
I'm at 76.
Oh, what in the world?
Well, I'm usually before I started taking this shit, I was clocking 90 regularly.
Oh dear. You know what? I don't want a heart rate.
Do you know about beta blockers, Alex? Do you know what they do?
They, I assume, lower your blood pressure.
They block. Oh God, that table's filthy. I'm so sorry. They block. They block a certain kind of adrenaline that generates the feelings associated with anxiety. So you can still have an anxious thing happening, but your pulse doesn't go through the fucking roof.
That is
address.
Yeah. I just realized that's a bit in house. Just like people. I swear to God, people are going to tweet and say Alex is right. First, Merlin had a bit in Golden Girls, and now you have a bit from House.
Oh. So you think I'm an old gay?
Syracuse. I'm talking about the things that you watch. Hmm. Oh, that's very exciting.
How's your hotel,
I'm
Alex?
Excited. Oh boy. Okay. All right. I sent you something in the super secret text channel. I thought I had found a deal on a hotel. The hotel is San Francisco. There's just everything inside. It's like a Portlandia sketch.
Please read all of this. Uh-huh. This is like, you know, like when you want to say like free guitar lessons and you tear off a strip. This hotel that won't be named. I can't believe you chose where you chose to be.
It was Yeah. Okay.
All right. Anyway, it looks like somebody printed 40 of these on mm-hmm. a sheet of paper mm-hmm. and then cut them into 1-inch
yes.
strips.
They did not even use like a paper cutter. This is definitely right.
But at least it's center aligned
work.
And uh-huh. not justified, because then I would have to set the place on fire.
All right. I've lost the words.
H1, drink up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. All right. There is, and I think, what is Helvetica? No, maybe Verdana. This is important to the story. Drink up. In an effort to reduce waste and toxicity caused by plastic water bottles, we're pleased to offer you our complimentary, environmentally friendly, reusable hotel blank 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 water bottle. Mm. For your convenience, we offer capital and bold. Flow water, filtered water stations in our hallway vending areas and capital fitness room. Flow water is 7x purified, enhanced with electrolytes, trace materials,
minerals.
No Oxford comma.
Minerals
and activated oxygen. Mm. Enjoy. And then there's the logo of the hotel in. Oh, it's real blurry. I just thought I was sleepy this morning and didn't have my glasses. Nope. So, in our hotel room, go into the hotel room, there's no water. It's reasonable not to buy, purchase the water bottle in a hotel room. But I was really thirsty and I was like, I want some water. And thought maybe there would be a convenience store.
Oh, like when they got that tube of Voss? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the tube of Voss or those Fuji that's like $13. oh, no, don't worry, though. I went to Walgreens. This Walgreens next to our hotel doesn't open until 9 a.m., so that's on me. But, oh, look, there's a food truck behind our hotel in what they call the resort area, because there's benches and picnic tables and a food truck from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. I'm sorry, 6 p.m. or 6 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Okay.
So I'm like, all right, I'm going to go get a water bottle from here, maybe.
Huh.
And they look at this, Merlin.
Yeah.
They sold me for literally $15.
Oh, my God.
A Path Water. It's called Path Water.
Path Water. Oh, that sounds terrible.
Yep. Look at all of their social media. But it's a, listen, Max. It is itself a reusable water bottle.
Oh,
so when you open it says refill, not landfill. So I am supposed to reuse this water bottle sold at the hotel after I was shamed for not using the water bottle that wasn't in the room even. Like, I went to the front desk and they handed me this water bottle.
Oh, gross.
And the paper.
Somebody
the paper
touched
was
it?
In it. The paper was in
oh,
it.
No.
I did not
oh,
include
no. You don't like
that
being handed
story.
Things.
No.
Ugh.
But the TV front and back in the hotel is very clean. The rest, there's, you know, yellow sheets and there's lots of throw pillows. Lots of throw pillows.
Oh, there's so many invisible dingleberries in those pillows.
Yeah.
How's your water, Max?
Well, I haven't really explored this hotel room. Let's see what this... Okay, I've got some glass. I've got some glasses here. I would use those glasses. They look maybe
what?
Like they were clean.
It's just drinking water.
Okay. It's just tap. This hotel has like a card in it saying, you know, there's nothing in the room. There's no like stuff in the room, which it's kind of nice, honestly. Like they don't have a bunch of like, you know, shit out on the what is that thing? When you in the bathroom, the bathroom counter, there's not like a bunch of stuff, but there's like a little sign that says, if you forgot something, we've got it. Give us a ring and we'll give it to you for on loan or for the taking. And then it's like cell phone chargers, coffee maker, lip balm, apparel tape, hair bands, humidifiers.
Oh, borrowing a lip balm. Mm-hmm. Is it like a lip balm library?
Sewing kit.
Nail polish.
I think a lot of hotels like give you a bunch of shit littered throughout the room.
Yeah, right.
This hotel is very like clean. There's like not a lot of stuff everywhere.
I think those are like if you get not lush, but if you get that stuff, I think that's because that particular bathroom business unit has worked out a deal, right? Don't you think?
Yes.
Because that's advertising for those folks. And Yeah, you know, this is a whole revolution now where more and more places are getting the squeezy pumpies in the shower instead.
I got a squeezy pumpy.
You got a squeezy pumpy? Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way.
I got a squeezy pumpy.
You got a squeezy pumpy. Okay, mm-hmm. I think that's a thing. And also, just so you know, Alexandra, when you leave town, mm-hmm. you will no longer be able to buy a bottle of water at the airport as of this week.
What?
Well, you'll no longer be able to buy a plastic bottle of water. It must be a metal bottle of water because they banned the plastic at SFO.
You know what? Good thing I bought this water that is refillable aluminum bottle. 100%.
How are you supposed to take water on the airplane?
You bring a refillable water bottle.
Yeah, well, you do that thing. Like it's the new fucking yoga mat.
Where does the water come from?
Hetch Hetchy, probably.
What?
Sorry. It's a place where we get our water from. It's 100 miles away.
Oh, all right. All right.
We have great tap water.
Oh, no. Okay, so let me try again.
Oh, no, they got squirty boys. They got squirty boys, like a shake machine littered around by where they have the garbage cans. You go and you fill your water in one of those.
So you stand right over the open trash in the airport.
Yes.
They're next to the bathroom. Yeah.
Okay, and then you just position your refillable water bottle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, mm-hmm. I get a little weird about those refillable water bottles.
Oh, of course you do. You got to think about the cross contagion. I mean, you think no German has ever touched that nozzle?
I mean, those are just, it's just not being cleaned as much as it should
Nazi
be.
Nazi germs. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. I was making a bad joke. What?
It's not being cleaned as much as it should
be. No.
Ugh. Why? No. Ugh.
You think they clean those shake machines at McDonald's? I don't think they clean.
No. Oh boy, I went on the way to Gen Con. I stopped at a McDonald's, and they have the new global menu now.
What's this?
They have like a global treats menu now,
like international.
It's all international. Yeah, it's like international treats.
Give me some idea mm-hmm. what that is. So you get like what? You get like a burrito, a wrap?
I got the one that I tried was a Stroopwafel McFlurry.
I love Stroopwafel.
Oh, that shit was good. It was
that's
like,
gonna be my pole dancer name just for what
oh,
it's worth.
Oh my gosh.
It was like big crunchy clusters of cookie and caramel in the McFlurry. It was good as hell.
This sounds delicious.
I endorse this product. It was really, really good.
I like me a Stroopwafel.
This and a side of sourdough bread. Oh my god.
And what else? And then this week I also did go to Popeyes and I got the spicy chicken sandwich from Popeyes that everyone's talking about. And it was outstanding. It was really good.
Oh.
Uh-huh. And he didn't give me a biscuit.
What's your review?
It was excellent. It was really good. It was better than Popeyes. Or I'm sorry, better than Chick-fil-A.
I like them both. Mm. Oh, wait, no, was the Popeyes thing that everybody's worked up about? Is this a new product for Popeyes?
Yes, it's brand new. It's the chicken sandwich. It's basically, it's kind of, I mean, for lack of a better descriptor, it's kind of a Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich. It's sort of a clone.
But in the Popeyes taste and style.
Correct. It's the Popeyes breading, which is a much better breading. It's the real flaky breading, the Popeyes breading.
I know exactly what you mean. I have to stop going Popeyes and McDonald's. I've asked my daughter to remind me I never want to go there. Not again, but mostly not. And also, it's right near where we buy our our miniatures and our paints over on Divisadero. And it's a treat for me sometimes. I get to go in there and I'll get a 3-piece spicy white meat with red beans and rice. They were just shut down for roach infestation. Is a thing we're dealing with. So I don't know if I want to get the spicy thing there. I love a chicken sandwich.
Wow, on my end of the microphone, the trolley car is very audible.
This is like a 4D experience.
That's good that you've set up your podcast, Merlin's Podcasting Academy for witches, for young witches and wizards.
Merlin's the pod. It's called the full name is the Podcast Academy for Boys. Hi, I'm Merlin Mann. Do you want to be a good podcast boy? Come on in, I got beta blockers. Your mom said it's okay. Tell her I said hi.
It's a good thing that you've established Merlin's Academy of Podcasting for Boys. Right on the trolley line.
It didn't occur to me. It was close to my house and I could afford it. And then I went, oh no. Oh.
Thank you.
I have tried everything. I've tried. The thing is, if you lay on the ground literally shakes. Like sometimes you'll hear like you'll hear like things tinkling. Ooh, that was a big one. Anybody else feel that?
Merlin, your pupils, this could really have an impact on their learning.
He gave us candy. He gave you candy? Well, beta blockers. He said you said it was all right. It's shaky there.
They're sitting there waving an XLR cable around going, Wingardium Leviosa. The trolley comes through.
Hey, Ephraim, you want to lay on the ground? Why don't you lay on the ground? See what it feels like. Shaky, huh? Huh? Have another beta blocker. Ephraim, are you okay? Ephraim, let me feel your carotid artery.
Did you guys see that Donald Trump said, quote, I am the chosen one this morning?
He's the king of the Jews.
I am the chosen one?
No, he said, it's a new thing. It was about the trade war with China.
What? So he said, the same day he said he's king of the Jews, he also said he's the chosen one.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he said, I'm the chosen one. The clip was a little less crazy. You know, here's the thing, is like, I think he was joking. I'm not clear on it. I mean, he's always joking and not joking, right? Like, because when he does his, Trump loves to joke about being president forever.
Yes.
And not, you know, and
like, how that drives liberals crazy when he says that.
I know.
Well, he even remarks about that. They think it's crazy. I've heard some people say 24 years, 32 years.
Right. Yeah. He's trolling. And I hate that it works on me because I know that it's deliberate, but it does work on me. I'm very upset. I'm triggered.
It is. He's actually bullying grown men, and it is. I don't understand why it's working. It does. It's like when you retweet him. Like, why would you let him get into your head?
Yeah.
It feels like you are giving him permission.
Well, I don't. Listen. I mean that. I think about Trump for 5 hours a day, but I don't. I try not to personally. I try not to like inflict that on others. Like that's just my own burden of like.
yep. Have you considered again? Just going off the Twitter.
No, I'm.
I heard he's mostly off at this point.
Mostly off.
You know what? I've had a couple months of like travel almost every week, and that is nearing an end. And I will be home for like the rest of the fall and pretty soon. And I think that for me, the pattern is like when I'm traveling a lot, I'm on Twitter all the time because I have more of those moments where I'm like in a cab or in an elevator. And then I'm like, what do you do for, you have 2 minutes, right? And it's like, it's not really enough time to like read a book or learn a magic trick. You know what I mean? It's like those little, so it's like, yeah, I'll jump on Twitter and see what everyone's saying. It somehow feels, it's very alluring because doesn't it have a little bit of that feeling of like.
Yeah, I mean, you're away from home, but you're still connected.
It's not even the away from home. It's that it's like, okay, you have just a little bit of time. And there's something about Twitter that feels almost like maybe you're doing something. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, oh, like I'll see what the people are saying. Like it's, you know, I'll check in on like the discourse. Like, you know, it's like, it's like I could just play Threes on my phone, but Threes is like fully self-indulgent, right? And I'm like, wow, this is just a waste of time. But if I go into,
right. Mm-hmm.
Twitter has like a little bit of this allure of like, oh no, it's not a waste of time. I'm like in the mix.
I think our president.
Do you guys know? Does that make sense?
It kind of does.
Yeah.
I mean, I was actually going to say I was off Twitter for a couple of days, not intentionally, but it was the opposite. Like I had long stretches of time where I pat myself on the back and said, "Yeah, you're going to read a book." I had no idea what the fuck was happening for like 3 days, and I missed many messages because I'm very, very popular. Mm-hmm. Missed any sort of news. Did not know. 25th Amendment now. Oh, pray for Amazon. Why are we praying for Amazon?
Oh boy. Let's check in on Twitter. Yeah. I just have to say, just in passing before we're done, I think the man has a Tobias Funke problem. He does not realize. So I don't think he was deliberately saying a Jesus thing. I think he said he accidentally blew himself, basically. I think, you know what I mean? I think he's got a Funke problem where like he just says shit that everybody else interprets in the way that, you know, it comes across to their mind, because it doesn't occur to him that the way he says it, and just the weird way that he says everything. I'm not going to do the impression because I know you don't like it. But like, but just it's so like his thing about fucking Greenland today. Did you see that one? You love to see it.
I have no idea what's it.
All right, all right. So this is what I woke up to today. Let's see. Oh God! My proposal to the politically correct automobile companies. Title case. Okay. Wait. Let me find this here. Lamestream Media doing great. All going great. Let's see. Where's he had a threaded thing about his visit to Denmark, I guess. Let me find this.
Do you have a favorite Trump impression? Do you think anyone Trump? It's Trump is really interesting.
Yeah, the Comedy Central guy. I think he's really good.
Trevor Noah?
No, the fella that does the Trump show.
Is that Anthony?
That guy.
Is that Anthony
guy.
Adamoniak or something? Mm-hmm. He's you know, it's interesting. I think he's doing a Trump impersonation. But I don't think he's necessarily got like an angle on the guy.
Well, I just think he does the best, like, you know, he really does sound like and look like.
Yeah, I mean, Alec Baldwin does a serviceable, like, impersonation. I mean, who's really good is the guy who used to read the tweets on the Trump cast.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I'm looking for his name now.
Oh, shoot,
amazing.
I know this. He's great.
No, but none of those people are doing like a comedic impression. Like none of them have an angle on him in the same way that like Dana Carvey did the Bush Senior.
Mm-hmm.
Oh right.
It's a subtle distinction, but like it kind of bugs me that we no one's like cracked the impression yet. No one knows how to sort of like make fun of Trump in a way. Maybe it's just because the guy is so unserious.
Okay, I'm gonna read this now.
Okay.
Denmark is a very special country with incredible people, but based on Prime Minister Mette Frederiksen's comments that she would have no interest in discussing the purchase of Greenland, I will be postponing our meeting scheduled in 2 weeks for another time, 5.4. The Prime Minister was able to save a great deal of expense and effort for both the United States and Denmark by being so direct. I thank her for that and look forward to rescheduling sometime in the future. He canceled his trip to Denmark and said that she was nasty because she will not consider selling a country to him. He's president deals. I'm sundowning.
What do you think is happening with this Denmark Greenland thing?
He's a dog with a bone. It's just a thing that occurred to him, and they went, "Oh, great idea! You should buy Greenland. That's the cold one, right?"
Do you think he saw it on TV or something like that?
Oh, I see. Like just
something. Oh yeah, like a Matt. Who is it? Matt Gaetz? Is he the one who does the real time connection of what he's watching on Fox to what he's saying on Twitter?
Yeah, like we're like, how did that get in his head? Do you? It's just interesting. I just love to think about it.
I didn't know they had parades for gals like you anymore. maybe want to put on my reading glasses. Felix's Joe Biden is my favorite thing right now.
Oh my God, it's so good.
It's so weird, and he must write it. There's no way he's coming up with that because he does sound like somebody's sundowning, deranged uncle when he does this.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know they're throwing parades for gals like you anymore.
He is upsettingly funny.
He's upsettingly funny, yeah. Upsettingly fast.
Like no one, he's so quick. He's so quick.
He can come up with a fake name so fast. Matt's pretty good at the names too, but like, oh my God. Anyways, you do love to see it.
I'd love
to see it.
Are we going to dunk on the... Are we going to talk about the Variety?
No.
No?
Don't
all
give
right.
that oxygen.
All right, you gotta all right. Just, I'm sorry.
It's the problem is when it's, you when we know, when we have backlash to backlash about podcasts, it's not a good look. It's not
I
a good
know.
Look.
It's just a really funny cover to
me,
too.
Alex,
it's
how's
real
your
funny?
Can you explain the thing? Can you explain the thing that we're not going to talk about? Just so I
yes,
know
what please.
It is?
Yes.
No, there's just
Alex,
the
you brought
typical...
it up. It's in the show now.
All right.
Go.
It's in the show now. The
We won't talk about it, but just say what it is that we're not going to talk about.
There's a cover story of Variety is Conan talking into a microphone, also surrounded by lights. Ooh. I don't know. It's just a very funny photo, and it's a typical boring podcasts are booming type thing, and it got people a little angry, including me, and I don't know why. It's dumb. It's like when Trump
says you should read the exact language, because the exact language is the same exact language that they always use that that makes it sound. I don't actually care. No, I don't actually care. Really, it's fine. I'm glad people are learning about podcasts. That's good. No, but it's in that same language that is, you know, there's like whatever, the Aristotelian seven kinds of stories or whatever. This is the kind of story that's about, it's a trend piece. Like, here's a thing that's breaking big right now, and it's called podcasts. And the problem is that I think the reason people get frustrated is that they are new. These are people who are new to podcasting, which is fine. Which can be seem a little bit carpet baggy, but I think really Serial was the first one where we all went, are you fucking kidding me? Like, there have been so many podcasts for so long, and they're not all like angry people from public radio. Mm-hmm. It's like there are people who do podcasts because they love the medium, not because they don't want to work at the New York Times anymore.
It just feels like gatekeeping.
Well, how many people do we know, just between the three of us, who like fully make their living doing podcasts? And not to say that this is like every person could do this, but like it's out there. Like, a lot of people, like, it's a important part of their livelihood and it's their passion project.
I would put it this way. I would say the way that I would phrase it is, how many people do we know that probably could live on their income from podcasting? And that answer is, I would say I know at least 15 or 20 people, probably. I don't know.
It's not insubstantial. It's a fine, it's like a good, and I know even more people who have like an extremely rich and rewarding hobby that has allowed them to travel all over the world and make amazing friends and connect with people because they do a podcast. And some of them are niche, right? You're doing something that like a few hundred people like really, really love, and it's their favorite thing in the world.
But even if it's not the money, you look at Michael Lewis. Michael Lewis doesn't need the money, but it's helping to promote his book. He's a really good author. He's actually a very good interviewer. His audio is wonderful. That show he did about his, book stuff was terrific. I don't think we need to just talk about the money part and just the popularity part. It's just
it's that podcasting doesn't need saving or fixing. Like, podcasting is going great. It's awesome right now. And the only thing that just pushes my buttons about not just this Variety piece, but all this sort of like genre of journalism, is this whole idea of like, the like celebs and Hollywood are doing it now, so like it's arrived. Like, now they're gonna come and fix it. And like, what the fuck do these people know? Like, they can't even do their own industry, right? Like, all of this, everything they touch dies because they're incompetent and they don't know how to make the business model of films work anymore. Like, that's why they can only make six superhero movies over and over again, and there's no movies.
That honestly doesn't bother me. Like, the whole "we were here first" type of thing feels weird and annoying, even though people were here first.
That is a good summary of what I said. I thank you for wrapping that up in a little bow for me.
Okay. It just bothers me.
No, you said it. That's what I was trying to say, and I think you put it in a much quicker. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay.
That's what I was going for.
Is he kidding? I can't tell if he's
kidding. I can't
tell
either. Yes, and?
Yes, sir.
But think about how YouTube for a while was, all of these amazing creators were kind of coming up at once, and then like Logan Paul and then YouTube storytellers, like this weird genre emerged because the platform of YouTube itself changed. And now there are very few people who start a YouTube channel because they are like, oh, it's not original, or, you know, I want to make money from it. And it's like embarrassing if you don't have enough followers. And I worry that podcasting is going to become that, where if someone does have something that's truly unique, and or even if they don't, they are going to feel like, oh, no, that's like hard. And the people who do that make it like it's a job. I don't know. I want it to be open. And God forbid, like, what if Luminary had been a success? Like, in an alternate universe, the podcasting world would make me very sad if we were all like on Luminary or, oh God, iHeartMedia, is that what it's called now?
Yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
Yeah, I mean, it's I think everybody's right. I mean, I know of I'm acquainted with hosts of three different shows that are, without always saying it, basically about reading a Wikipedia article. You know, there's a whole genre of like weird facts. You could even include stuff like No Such Thing as a Fish, which I think is a very, I'm guessing, is a very successful show. I think it was Apple's like best new show a few years ago. And you know what, that's what they do for a living. They look up interesting facts. There's room for so many people to do that. And just because that already exists somewhere else it shouldn't be a burden to people doing it. Now, the YouTube thing, my YouTube is different from I think most people's YouTube. Where like, I don't know. I'm given to believe, Alex, get my back on this, that there's a whole thing that's just about replying to other people's YouTube videos. Yep. Or like having a hot take on somebody else's YouTube video, which then leads mm-hmm. to more hot takes. Isn't that a thing?
That is storytelling, what they call storytelling YouTube, where they either tell their own story or and then sprinkle in like they weave it into someone else's video and it's a response to that. And there are people like, I don't know, like Phil did something. I don't know. Like there are channels who do straight up recaps. And then there are ones that...
Recaps of other YouTube videos.
Yes, correct.
Holy shit.
But there are also the ones that you're talking about where it's just strange.
Like about YouTube drama, right?
Yeah, there's drama. And then they like tag other people that are like, you know what? I'm sure this person's going to make a video. And then that person does make another video as a response to a video from the popular YouTuber. And they're all just kind of weird and sad. I don't know. Let people like what they like. It's just, there's so much bullying. I went down a rabbit hole of like bully YouTube, basically. It's really just, I mean, I know if you go and watch a lot of Nazi, quote, right-wing videos, like, eventually you'll get to the Nazis. But if you watch, like, Jake Paul once, you just get led down this rabbit hole of meanness.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Now I've made myself sad again.
I like a, there's a genre that interests me sometimes that just, oh, God, how many of these did I watch last night? Holy shit. Like, there's that weird genre of there's that one guy who just most of his videos, almost all of his videos are just edited together things from other YouTube videos of like, who sang this 8 bars from I Dreamed a Dream best?
Oh, well, that's amazing. Yes, that's is amazing. I think it's very cool.
Yeah, but it's weird. Here's one that I got into last night, which is mostly... this is a Spanish guy who is called Famous Sing Their Hits. Famous Sing Their Hits before versus plus 20 years later. And it's a four-part series. Here's Russell Hitchcock from Air Supply doing All Out of Love 38 years apart. Here's Debbie Harry. Oh, boy. Simon and Garfunkel. But and it's all just he's gone and dug up old and recent performances and put it all together. Nana from 99 Luftballons. I don't know. I'm kind of into that.
I like that. That's like it. I'm not making my point well because there are so many different kinds of YouTube. Just like everybody has a different kind of podcast app because it is open and great. But YouTube seems to be shrinking in on itself. Like think about the awesome bass guy that we all like that makes those bass videos.
Adam Neely.
And then you're led down like music YouTube and slowly the videos are older and older and older. And
then in the Nazi music YouTube.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But there aren't as many people making them from what I've seen. Like there's a point almost where you can stop after you've watched like Adam Neely and then many old videos from like old vloggers and they're very good. Whereas if you are just going to Nazi YouTube or storytelling YouTube, it is endless. And I don't know. I'm just
lock
sad.
Picking. Guys, you got to get into lock picking YouTube. It's so there's, good.
Yes. Oh, the lock picking.
Lock picking lawyer rules.
Lock picking lawyer. That's the one. Yeah.
Fucking love that guy. So cool.
Did you see the one where he melts the lock with gallium?
No, I did. I saw one. Is that the brute force one? I haven't seen that yet.
Look up lock picking lawyer gallium.
Okay. Ooh.
Here's what I would say, because I'm listening. I'm trying to articulate my point a little better. And like, there's something about a medium when before like big money is in it, right? When people are spending like thousands of dollars and not millions of dollars on to in the medium. Mm-hmm. There's some little moment there where a lot of really cool, weird, creative people. They look at that medium and they go, well, I could do that. And then they mm-hmm. make something weird because the boundaries, the conventions and the boundaries aren't defined yet. And it's mm-hmm. like, well, everyone's doing everything and it's all weird. And that attracts a certain kind of person who's like, I don't really give a shit if I make a lot of money from this or not, but I thought of something weird I can do with this medium. And those things, like there's like a real like depth to them, like because they're so fully committed. And sometimes those people, even though this isn't, I don't think, their main intention, they do wind up making a lot of money on it, right? Uh-huh. In like indie games and specifically indie board games, like that is the story of Cards Against Humanity, of like I just saw people making their own board games, and you know, and we had made this prototype of cards, and I was like, well, shit, like we could do that. Like everyone else is just some guy figuring it out, and we never like there wasn't ever an intention to start a company or make any money. It just sort mm-hmm. of happened because we like made this thing that was like real authentic to the thing that we wanted to make. And then at some point, like, listen, the same thing happened in board games. Like at some point there was like all this consolidation and a bunch of big industry got into it, and now it's like very homogenized. And when this year I went to Gen Con, and Alon, who makes Exploding Kittens, and I were walking on the show floor, and we were like, everything on the show floor was licensed. Like everything was like,
oh, okay.
Netflix licensed and movies and franchise. And we're looking around and we're going like, man, this is all going to collapse. Like, this
so that
is
becomes a different industry. It's like those, there's yeah. certain like comic book companies that aren't the big three where they'll just like lines, whatever that is, Scooby-Doo or, you know, whatever, right? It's a similar deal here where you're not really making games anymore. I don't know what's like, I hate to say this, well, we don't have ads on here. A lot of the companies that do a lot of podcast advertising, if you just dig even a little bit beyond the surface, you realize they're not manufacturers, they're marketing companies.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
There are companies where it's just like, oh no, they're just drop shipping furniture from North Carolina or whatever.
But they bought the factory in Germany.
My name is Jesse. Every time that guy goes, my name is Jesse, I think it's Jesse Thorne, and it confuses me. We decided to make a watch out of shirts. We give a free pair to every African.
Just to wrap up my little train of thought here, like,
yes,
podcasting is so exciting. And like, I love the little scene that we have in podcasting and all of our friends, because like people really have like fucking figured this out, right? Like they can do their own weird thing. I don't think that most people that we know are like, I'm going to start a podcast so I can get rich. I think they're like, I have something to say and I can just put it on the internet and people will listen to it. And that's cool. That's cool. There should be more of that. And by the way, the people who do get rich or make any money in podcasting, they generally start with that attitude. All these people who are like, I'm going to become a millionaire off my podcast, guess what? Their shit sucks, and it rarely connects with an audience. So I like the aesthetic. Like, I like that it's gotten as big as it has, and it still has a little bit of that punk rock, like indie kind
yeah,
of a vibe
absolutely.
To it.
Yeah.
Like, I like with Dubai Friday that people can go on our Patreon and they can go to giveusyourfuckingmoney.com and they can give us $5 a month and they can become a member of Dubai Friday.
Wow.
Oh, bravo.
That's really good.
And we don't have to have any, thank you. And we don't have to have any ads.
No.
And you know what? I'm not like very, I don't feel, do you guys feel like a lot of pressure?
I feel like they could give as little as $5 a month.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I love that. I love that they can do that. I love.
And if you do that, you get our exclusive after show that we record.
Yes.
And this week only, you will get a special bonus episode of about 20 minutes of Alex and Merlin just frantically yelling about Audio Hijack and plugging cords in and out. I saved all the audio, and we will edit and post.
I love that people can do that. Mm-hmm, I just it's mm-hmm. so yeah. it's so punk rock that they can give us money.
I know. Yeah.
But let me ask you this. I actually really love this. I do not feel like a ton of pressure to like dramatically grow the audience size or like do
shit
things
no
to, like,
no
I don't like, want Dubai, oh, no
like do you guys wake up every morning and you're like, man, how do we get more listeners to the Dubai Friday empire? Like I don't care. It's awesome. How I love how it is.
Yeah, no, but I wake up thinking, how am I going to disappoint people today. God. But it's not just
well, that's healthy.
It's not just an audience. It's everybody in my life ever. So it's just an
anyway,
avalanche.
I'm just not. I like that. I really want to. I've been through other industries where we've had this cool moment and then it's kind of collapsed. And so I've now have a little bit of wisdom to say like things are really really good now. Like these are the moments that we will look back on and go, those were the good times. Like we will look back at 2019 at some point in our lives and we will go, those were the salad days. Like that was it.
I totally agree, especially in the sense that like as somebody who like I miss my own podcast. I miss You Look Nice Today. I didn't appreciate it much at the time. I didn't appreciate enough how much I loved doing that and the response from other people. But even now, we get a new episode of Mabim Bam every Monday. That's still happening. Mm-hmm. That's not going to happen forever. Yeah. I get a Flophouse every other Saturday, and that makes me so happy. Mm-hmm. I don't know how often You're Wrong About comes out, but probably every other week. But every time a new episode comes up, I'm excited. All of those shows are not going to be around forever. You know what I mean? At some point, you know, you're going to go back and listen to them and re-listen to them. But like to that point, I totally agree. Just other quick thing. And I think about something that John Gruber said when we did that talk at South by Southwest that some people like. We were talking about blogging and I don't think we even realized at the time how much that was kind of the end of the good blogging era in whatever year that was. But he said, we were talking about, you know, the motivation to do what you do. And I realize it seemed like kind of a bust a gut talk for two successful white men to give. But, you know, the truth is, he said something about, you know, you could see these guys coming a mile off. The people whose motivation is to get into this for strictly mercantile reasons. And I mean, I'm not here to say that professional people can't do great work moving into a new genre, because they absolutely can. Something I've said to y'all many times and in our Slack is that I do feel like I tend to enjoy and stick with podcasts by people who used to be or are writers rather than people who are or used to be broadcasters. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's a really fundamental difference. I think in my heart, I feel like a lot of broadcasters, former public radio people, mainstream media people, I think if they were honest, they would admit they feel a little bit like they're slumming. Because that's the thing they've got to do. Whereas people that used to be writers, I think they're grateful to have the gig, you know? And motivations don't always have to make a difference, but I think they can, not least because whenever you go into a new thing, a new genre, try a new project, your motivations, let's just give two distinct but maybe related motivations. If your motivation is to be liked by people who do what you do, that's going to create a certain kind of attitude about how you do what you do, right? Related to that. If your motivation is like, I want to get better at the thing that I do, that's good. Now you shade a little more into, what if your motivation is to just get more numbers? And you want to get more numbers because you can get ads, and you can get ads and then get more ads. I think that can be a very corrupting primary motivation. It doesn't mean you don't want to make money to be motivated by those, to me, good things.
Can I share a great little brain worm with you about that exact thing?
Please.
I want to make a new entry in the Dubai Friday canon. Okay. Mm-hmm. So there's a Japanese magician that Jordan and Simon and I are all think is a master. I mean, he's a pretty young dude named Shoot Agawa. Okay. And he speaks just a little bit of English. He's not like he's like, his English is okay, but he's not like a native speaker in English. Mm-hmm. But Shoot is like a god of man. I mean, he is his shit is so next level. It's so deceptive. I mean, this guy's got like crazy chops and all his own original stuff. It's really humbling to like see him perform. And I think a lot of the people that I'm friends with in Magic like really look up to this guy Shoot, and we're like, Shoot's the real deal. Like, and most people have no idea who he is and they haven't heard his name. And Jordan one day was talking to Jordan is like my Magic teacher, and Jordan was talking to Shoot, and Jordan said to Shoot, he said, Shoot, do you know there's these like really famous YouTuber magicians, and a lot of what they do is they like teach magic tricks for free on YouTube, and they expose magic on YouTube, and they're sort of like cool YouTuber like Casey Neistat wannabe. Have you guys ever? I don't know why you would have, but this is a whole subgenre on YouTube.
No, I didn't know that.
It's a thing, and they're all.
Oh,
like,
I have seen like when we watched that one trick by the guy who won the contest.
Oh,
I went
so
and
good.
Saw some like reaction videos and that kind of stuff. So I think that's what you're talking about.
That's always what they're doing, is it's like, yes, they're taking some magic performance that goes viral, and then they're doing like, I react to Eric Chien at FISM. And it's like, you know, it's like, oh, hey, no big deal. It's this guy's life's work that he's made these 3 minutes of entertainment, and now I'm going to monetize his performance on my YouTube channel and like expose the secrets and judge it and talk about it. It just needles me.
Oh, that's shitty. I thought, like, I don't even...
No, it needles me. And they give away... Anyway, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Anyway, these guys, they kind of suck, and most people in Magic are like not super into them. And Jordan, anyway, Jordan is talking to Shoot one day, the master, and Jordan says to Shoot, what do you think of so-and-so YouTuber who's, you know, very, he's got 3 million subscribers or whatever, and he's making tons of money doing this. And Shoot, you know, he shoots Japanese, so he's trying to be respectful, and he thinks about it for a second. He sort of shakes his head and he goes, I think he is internet numbers man.
Oh my God.
Internet numbers man.
Internet numbers, man.
Internet numbers.
I'm sorry, that was a whole side thing, but what you're talking about, Merlin, of like mm-hmm. the...
Yeah, no, that's it. That's internet numbers, man. Yeah.
I think when you're saying there's broadcasters who get into podcasting because they want to become internet numbers, man.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. And then like, I know this is not related. God damn it. I know this is not related, but it feels related. You know, I understand you got a fucking podcast network or like whatever. You have a studio, let's say in New York City. You've got maybe it's like WNYC, let's say, for the sake of argument.
Yep.
And you really need to bootstrap your new show. So what do? Well, first of all, you start jamming other fucking shows into an existing feed where somebody has the express interest of listening to this particular program. And you start jamming shit in there and go, wow, you know what? We know you're going to be really excited about this new show we're doing that has fuck all to do with the show that we do. But here it is. And here's an episode. And then maybe you start doing that more. And then you start doing stuff like, oh, you have guest hosts where you don't have to work as hard. And then you start, you know what I mean? You kind of Terry Gross it a little bit. She's earned it. Like, she's been in this shit for 40 years. She's earned some time off in her 60s or whatever. But, you know, it's just there's so much shit where it's like, wait a minute. Where's the regular three hosts? They should show up every goddamn week, put out this show on time, and try. And part of trying is setting aside bullshit that is insulting to your listeners. I'm not usually this particular guy, but it's so skeevy how many people with shows I really love will walk right up to the edge of bullshit in doing what they do. And this is something I said to Syracuse, I think in the last episode of Reconcilable Differences, but you know, when Seth and Saul open up their hardware business, you know, in Deadwood. All right, open for business. We got pans. We got... And the guy comes in and goes, check this out. 50-cent bar of soap. I found a $5 bill in it. Over there, every hour, they're giving away $5 in a bar. And Seth walks up to the guy and he's like, take your business elsewhere. And because that's what it is. You show up and you take somebody's fucking magic video and reveal it. You put bullshit in the feed. You do all of this stuff. And just all this stuff that, like, it's not terrible, but it is bullshit. And like that, now you're just not as good anymore. Because now you're the person who does, you're playing a game and you're trying to show somebody there's $5 in a bar of soap. Even if you're like, it's not that different from a fucking reply guy who just shows up and is like, or like wants to talk about their chemtrails inside, you know, Maggie Haberman's mentions or whatever. Why, you've never seen so many phonies in your whole life, is what I'm saying.
I've got everyone all upset.
It's just, it's something, there's something about the mob mentality of like, once someone starts sort of juking the stats and doing that dumb bullshit, then everybody feels like, well, I'm a sucker. I don't want to be the only sucker who's not doing it, right?
Yes.
And so everybody sort of rushes towards that stuff that's really annoying to the actual listeners.
Well, you know what, think about boarding a plane, Max. Think about when you're boarding a plane and everybody's in a fucking boarding group. You have a number. If your number is three numbers away, you do not need to be standing right next to where the line is right now. You don't. There's no need for that. But you know who does that? People who are in first class. It's the funniest fucking thing in the world. Is they will just, with their little, like, little stupid fucking carry-on bag, they will like, just like a vulture, just like a diarrhea vulture, just stand there and like, oh, I gotta get on there. It's like, guy, guess what? You're in first class, guy. You've got a chair. They've got a chair for you that they're not gonna give to anybody else, and there's a hole in the ceiling where you can put your fucking bag. Chill out, move, let old ladies and children get on the goddamn plane. Nothing is being taken away from you. God, I hate people today.
There's the crabs in a bucket thing. There's like the mob mentality thing.
Yeah.
But then you've also got on the platform side, you have the, all, you know, things become, at some point there's so much stuff out there that everyone's like, why can't I find all the good stuff?
Right.
And then they start to do algorithms. And guess what? The algorithms usually these platforms wind up in a state of a parasitic sort of codependence on the yes. people who are doing these gimmicks, because the people mm-hmm. who are doing the gimmicks are internet numbers guy, and guess what? They bring in the fucking numbers.
And now that's the thing. That's the thing, and that's the new normal. I don't yes. know if my plane thing made sense. I just wanted to say mm-hmm. those guys start swarming, and then everybody else swarms, and then right. pretty soon you got this crush of people like a fucking Who concert moving nowhere except closer to where they don't need to be, and that's the internet.
I find myself thinking that all the time. I'm like, you know, I don't know, whatever the, if everyone's streaming on Twitch, I sometimes find myself, I'm sitting at my desk going, I don't want to be the only sucker who's not doing this. Am I missing out? No, do I need to be streaming?
No, you don't.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, do you guys must feel that, I mean, you can relate to that feeling, right? Of like,
yes,
everyone's doing this and I don't want to be the only sucker who's not.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the social side, but then there's also the platform side, which is like, like I was saying, like, it's just like at some point there becomes an algorithm that sorts stuff, and the stuff that, sadly, the stuff that gets sorted to the top tends to be that all this bullshit that we don't like that we're talking about.
But that doesn't, it feels like that doesn't need to happen. Like, Sub Pop is still a label, and the golden days of music in various genres will come and go. But I think there are enough people in independent podcasts with enough money that they're not going to let that happen. Like, I don't think the Flophouse is going to start doing reruns, and I don't think ATP is going to be like, I can't even imagine.
This is
like,
Dave Davies,
hey,
in for Elliot Kalin.
No, but it's a bit of a bummer. If podcasts are a thing now because Conan's doing a podcast.
No, but he's been doing it for years too, and it's pretty good. Like, I like it, and that's why it's weird, is because he did it on a whim, and he's like, there doesn't need to be another, he even says this in the Variety piece, there doesn't need to be another comedian interviewing people, and it was like that, but then his producers are like, no, you're Conan O'Brien, mm-hmm. you have
it
access.
It makes sense. It makes a ton of sense
people.
For him to do it.
It's pretty good. I
he's
like
playing
it.
In a smaller pond than he used to, and he's needs to have some hustle for his shit. It makes sense.
And I don't think they've ever rerun something that he's done. And that is why, that's also why it's funny to me that he's on the Variety cover, because this show has been around so long, and it's really, I mean,
is that correct? Was he gone for a long time? I feel like this is a recent in the last year show.
No, Conan wants some friends.
Conan O'Brien needs a friend.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they did announce, I think at the very end, like, he's rebooting or doing something. But let me see.
No. Well, 2018.
Yeah. You're right.
Oh, my God, yes.
I guess it.
So here's the thing. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. 2018.
Okay.
Introducing Conan's new podcast. Oh, I love those. I love the, here's the podcast that's coming.
That's fun in the feed. Oh.
We've all done it. Dig it, batteries. What?
Wait, no.
It's been an hour. I need pho. We're starting
all
2 hours
right.
late and I'm
all
starving.
Right. All right. This was Merlin's challenge?
Hello. Yeah, so my thing was, I just mentioned, I think in passing at some point, I guess in the after show last week, that I think we may have done this once before. I like the idea of completely arbitrarily just look over some old episodes and do some catch up, if you like, follow up on what you've done on an old thing, where there's something new. And I had, the reason I mentioned that was very specifically because, hey, congratulations, Max Temkin, you got me into these goddamn Inaloop batteries. I'm all in on Inaloop batteries. So the challenge this week was to get some rechargeable batteries and do stuff with them. So that's what we did.
I've been on the Inaloop. So I heard about the Inaloops from the Giant Bomb guys. I think they turned me on to Inaloops like years ago. And they're like basically like super high quality AA and AAA rechargeable batteries. Mm-hmm. And what's happened for me is over the course of the last year or so, every time I need a battery in anything in my house, so if a battery dies or if I buy something new that needs batteries, I throw out the old battery and I replace it with an Eneloop. And then once the Eneloop is in, now I don't have to throw those out. You just recharge those. And I think over the course of about a year, I think I've now replaced every single battery in my house with AA.
That's where I am. Eneloops. That's right.
And I got a couple of different chargers, right? So I have a charger in my office and I have a charger in the kitchen. And what's nice about that is I don't have to it makes it a little more convenient for me when I'm feeling lazy to actually remember to plug the batteries in. And then the other trick for Eneloops that I've discovered is you're going to need more, and you want more Eneloops than you need, because the trick is not to, when your remote dies, you don't want to, the goal is not to recharge the batteries overnight and not have a remote. The goal is that you have hot batteries ready to go to pop into the remote, then you charge the dead ones and you put them back in the drawer. So you always have fresh batteries in the drawer.
You can, that was going to be one of my tips too, is that, this has gotten so much a thing that we do that it's just plugged in our kitchen because of how often I do this. But my tip would even be, and they're costly, so you don't want to go too crazy, but definitely buy more than you think you need. And what I do is I have one box that is these needs to be charged, and then another one, I have one of those storage ones, like a storage thing, a bespoke battery storage thing. And that's what I do. So, we've got stuff like under counter, under our cabinets, we have these lights where we don't have electric lighting under there, but you wake up in the morning, you want to make coffee, you don't want the overhead light. Mm. And it's one of those little touch the little metal thing and the lights turn on, LEDs. We do those. We've got, battery powered motion sensor lights in our garage. We've got, LEDs on little strips in our pantry. So yeah, same thing here, Max, where it started out with, you get these, you charge them, you top them off. And then, you can, and when they run out, you replace. It's been however long, probably almost a year now. And I think I'm finally all in, because there are some things we hardly use at all. But all of my flashlights, all of the lights. And Alex, you had said, how would you need that many batteries? And it's a combination of a kid plus gadgets plus lots of lighting. And I think they're terrific. The best advice you gave, and then I'll shut up, is when you said, don't overthink the charging thing. Just, once they're all charged, once they're all installed, they're going to go bad only a little at a time. Not bad, but they're going to empty a little at a time, and you just put them in overnight and you're done. You don't want to overthink it. They're great.
Yeah, I have general life advice for just Do By Friday listeners in general, which is this. There's some things in your life, and they're usually little shits that you need, and they're never where you want them. You know what I mean? I would say chapstick is maybe an example of this.
We've talked about this all the time. Just two of everything. Everywhere.
At least.
You should. No. See, I don't talk about it enough because
all right. You're right.
Scissors.
One is none.
Scissors. Look at this. I'm always near scissors.
What is it with scissors? I feel like that's one of the things. People just take them.
Scissors is such a good example.
They're just so easy to take.
We had one scissors in our kitchen for a long time, and I would use it to cut open a thing of bacon, and then I'd need to wash it. But I would also need to open a bag of coffee by the coffee maker, and I would also need to open Amazon boxes for it when I had an Amazon box in the kitchen. And at some point I realized, what am I doing with my life that I have this one pair of scissors that I'm using? No. You know what? Now I have fucking four pairs of scissors in the kitchen, and I have one by the coffee. I got a food scissors that I use to, for meat and stuff. And I have one that's just for Amazon package.
Poultry scissors? Poultry scissors. I have the Marco scissors right here, Alex.
Did he do another blog post about scissors?
Yeah, but I tried some of the premium ones. I wasn't really.
Can you say what they are?
Sure. These are so sharp. they are really upsettingly sharp. And I will look them up.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no, but these are good. Keep talking. Alex, did you get batteries?
I have a jar of failure.
Jar of failure, peanut butter.
No,
peanut,
oh, oh. The honestly, quite the opposite. Ooh. I was skeptical of, not if they were good or not. I was just there's not that many batteries in my life. I was wrong. Not in my house. I still don't know. There's nothing in my house that needs a AA battery except
weird. No flashlights?
Nope. The we just what are they? The ones that you crank? I have a cranker to recharge.
God, yeah. You're a monster.
Yep. but there are two very, very important things. My Zoom, which requires 4 AA batteries, and like it takes up a whole bunch of power, and almost I have to change those fairly often. Because the, what's it called? Self-discharge? the static.
Manual release?
Yep.
Every time I cook with the Instant Pot, I say I have to do a manual release.
But more importantly, we have this huge...
Self-discharge.
Wait, hold on. I went to the what's it called? Rechargeable, because they, when they are just, like, what's the standby time on these?
How long can they stay? Well, you know what's interesting is I got a spreadsheet for everything, and when I got these, I did some spreadsheets, and they say often that they're fully charged when they arrive. That ain't true. They'll still take a few hours of charge. Also, just for fun, when I take them out and they've been sitting for a while, I do top them off before I put them in personally, so I don't know what the standby is. Well, that's I think that's part of the problem with these is they probably don't I wouldn't expect these to maintain their level for a year.
This is crazy. I just throw them in a little bin and I use them when I use them. And like the thing with AA batteries is like I don't have any applications for everything that I have that's like I need this to last, the power to last like forever. It's like it's rechargeable now.
Flashlights.
Flashlights are I guess I have like a single AA battery in my flashlight.
We have.
I got the Marco flashlight too.
Wait. The Marco flashlight?
Marco
flashlight.
I'm informed by listener John Syracuse. It's not pronounced Fenix. It's pronounced Phoenix. I said Fenix. F-E-N-I-X. I would say Fenix.
Fenix is better.
And so you like them, Alex? You like the battery boys?
I was like, these are fine. They're normal. But we have a gigantic sound rig for live Cards Against Humanity shows that involve 12 different lav mics and 12 receivers.
Whoa.
So I did a test. I put like six. Yep, I can do math. Used six of the antelopes. I like to call them antelopes also. And then just used regular AAs. And not only did the antelopes last longer, they lasted 2 shows worth.
Regular alkaline batteries?
Yes.
What?
Which is what has... So I used the Pro ones, which I guess last longer, but they took forever to charge.
Crazy.
Yeah, and I don't know what it is, but like after every show, we end up basically throwing away 24 batteries because it's on for like 3 hours.
It does feel, you know, of the things, that does feel so shitty.
That
it feels so shitty for us to have those little under counter lights. My wife forgets to turn it off in the morning. We don't see it because now it's light out. This is not on her, but like, and now that's 3 batteries we throw away. Which is gross. Like of all the shit, I mean, I'm not the most environmentally woke person, but like, God, it just seems so unnecessary.
Yeah. So the challenge, I did not peanut butter.
No peanut butter.
No peanut butter.
What are your other? So we have scissors, batteries. What are your other little shits that you have? I have chapsticks all over the house. I have, nail clippers. You're going to want those all over the place.
Microfiber, glass.
The Japanese nail clippers for sure. I've got the greatest nail clippers in the world. They're great.
I'm converted. I'm fully converted over to those. Those are really excellent.
Yeah. Put one of those in your toiletries bag for your set-aside travel bag. I have so many things like this. It's not something I'm extremely proud of. But, like, for example, like, there's shit I need to do in the basement, and I don't want to have to remember. Like, there's so much stuff in the basement where I could really benefit from a knife and other kinds of tools. So now I have one of my less fancy leathersmen that I just that I just leave down there. The Japanese Amazon package opening knife, I have one of those down there. You guys got those? You got the Japanese package opening knife?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I'm sorry. The cardboard one. Yes.
That's the one I stabbed my hand with.
Oh, no. The yellow one is blunt.
Oh, no, never mind. It's a, I have a different Japanese one.
Oh, you got to get in on this. I have shits like that. I love shits like that. I do a lot of stuff. Like, yeah, you know, I deploy things in various places. I have like a, like, you know, a lot of people are like, oh gosh, I got an iPhone and it came with these. It used to be you get the headphones or whatever, or, you know.
Yeah.
And so just keep those around. Keep those in a glove box. You're going to need them someday. Especially if you have a kid who lost your automotics that are brand new. Not that I'm mad.
Oh, my.
But like stuff like that, just keep them around, know where they are. Even like I have a Ziploc bag full of 5-watt, you know, dongles. I don't know when I'm going to need them. But these cables. Oh, so Max, also, I'm trying a new multi-cable. The Belkins, I haven't been able to get.
Yeah, they're sold out like everywhere.
Really? Okay, so that one, how do you describe that, Alex? It's like a half a Hydra?
It's beautiful. Yes, it's like a half Hydra or just like spindly alien arms. They're kind of like the Arrival. Oh, look at
it. Oh, they are the Arrival. Yeah. They're Abbott and Costello. So, Max, this is a braided cord with USB-A on one side. And then coming out of that are two Lightnings, a Mini, and a USB-C.
What?
And they know that.
So you could do all of them.
Two Lightnings?
Yeah. So, yeah.
Where is that? What's this called?
It's Chinese. I'll find it. Is it
available on Amazon.com for purchase?
Well, it's available on Amazon Prime now. You can have them 2 hours. Let me look.
What's it called? What do I search for?
Oh my God! I just remembered.
I don't know. I'm looking
for
it. This site is garbage. The Amazon Prime site is the Prime Now site is so bad.
I literally didn't know there was a website and thought you could only use the app. But what? Since you're in San Francisco, what's the most wild thing you can get on Prime? Because it lives here, basically, right? Like
there's my goodness, many things.
Wow! Even opening the app, rubber. Oh.
You get more things? Rubber ducks?
There's a rubber duck for outdoor play.
Oh, dear.
There's
ExtremeRestraints.com.
They'll bring you luggage. There's water-friendly
okay, so it sounds like I'm dragging these guys, and I'm not. I bought the Studio Neat version of this, and it's cool. But it is a huge cable, and I don't think it works on some super high capacity USB-C things. And so this is a less costly option, which I can't find for some reason. Let me look at my orders. What can you get on Prime Now? Ooh, you know, do you guys have full Whole Foods delivery there on Prime Now?
Not on, like a very limited selection.
Okay.
Like, can you order like food through Prime Now?
Oh, well, Amazon has a whole food thing here.
Okay. Like, well, in Seattle, I opened Prime Now and it was like an Uber Eats or Postmate DoorDash situation.
Oh, I hate to admit it, I love Uber Eats.
Oh.
Boy, they'll do you a McDonald's in 22 minutes, baby. Woo!
They also have my rating is the same on Uber Eats as it is in the Uber app, and
how do
so
you,
I wonder
how do you know? How do you look that up?
I just asked my Uber driver
No stats.
Do you not look at your?
Oh my God,
number?
No! I don't want to know what anyone thinks about me ever.
Oh, it's
oh shit! Rough. How could you live with that? You know what you need?
That's rough.
Who's ready for beta blockers?